Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Calum Fargelon.
I'm DM.
And tonight, our final month of Haunted Halloween!
Yeah.
We're one day late for the last one, but that's fine.
Yeah,
we also got the Halloween
matter.
Special up, so I think we watched the movies in October. I think that's what counts.
Yeah.
He said, trying to disguise the fact that he watched one of the movies today. we are good to go,
All
though.
All Saints Damon!
So beautiful. So the lights will be working tomorrow.
Right.
Such a good episode. That's also where the Beetlejuice cameo is.
Yes, it is.
That same episode, I just remembered. Yeah. All right. Seriously though, we've got movies to cover, but first we have some random crap. I played a video game that I want to tell everybody about. I've been talking about this one coming up for a while. It's the Call of Cthulhu video game.
I thought we were supposed to play that together.
Yeah, but I got an advanced copy, so I had to rush through it in like 2 days and write the review before it came out, so we did not have a chance to sit down and play.
Fine.
I'm happy to reload it next time you're over. It's awesome. I am so happy with this game. I mean, it's kind of slowly paced. It's based around investigation. There's very little, like, stealth. There's very little combat. It's mostly just conversation trees and searching areas. But all of the art looks great. The creatures are dead on with the creepiness. But what I like most about it is largely themed around, paintings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you're called to an island to investigate the death of the mysterious death of this family, and the woman was this famous painter, right? And she has been drawing terrifying eldritch abominations, and of course this leaves you down a terrifying rabbit hole into that, you know, heads only towards madness, because it's H.P. Lovecraft. You knew where it was going.
Yeah.
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it. It's that type of situation. But anyway, I loved it. It's really good. It is very slowly paced. You know, it's like if you're expecting the kind of combat and the constant, you know, running through caves and hideous monsters that you got in in Dark Corners of the Earth, which was the last major Lovecraft game, you're not going to get it. And, you know, some people expect that. Personally, I was very happy with what I got here. My one disappointment, and I'll just say it, a complete and total lack of Shoggoths.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Can't have it all, I guess.
Well, no, you can't. It's just, I know that the Shoggoths generally just hang out in Antarctica, so it's always a stretch when a Shoggoth shows up in other locations, but I was hoping, and no, there are no Shoggoths in this location. Mm. I am sad to say. But hopefully, you know what? Maybe if they do a sequel, we'll do an Antarctica-themed sequel, and maybe we'll get some Shoggoths then. But yeah, looks great. I put up a bunch of videos about it. I'm pretty happy with the game. You can check out the Hidden Object Guru channel if you'd like to see all of the game's cutscenes, for example. Or a guide to every puzzle in the game, stuff like that. Or really watch my whole playthrough.
I put up
a lot of videos for it. Okay, this is item 1A. I forgot to add it to the agenda and I'm sorry. I just want to remind everybody that John Glover is now on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I want to encourage everybody to follow John Glover. He joined 2 weeks ago, and for the first week, no one followed him.
Oh.
And then Mark Hamill retweeted that John Glover was on Twitter, and so he finally has some followers. But it's like, because no one was looking for John Glover. That's how Twitter works.
Well, no, because they knew he wasn't out there, so why bother?
Exactly. Why would you think to search for John Glover? But anyway, I found out that John Glover was on Twitter in the best possible way, which is my favorite cartoonist, Michael Kupperman, was talking about RoboCop 2. So I responded to him. And what about the best part about RoboCop 2? John Glover trying to sell people...
The SUX.
not the SUX. He was selling people the car alarm system that electrocutes car thieves.
I thought that was in the SCR. No, I guess it's a separate system.
No, it's a separate system. Yeah,
you're right.
It's a separate system. And, you know, so, and he's like, and he, and, he's like, John Glover's the best. And I'm like, yep. And then John Glover responded to us both to say, thanks guys.
Aw, that's like, great.
John Glover, you're my hero. So I just, I'm like, hey, this is my only chance I'll ever get to say this to you. Your Satan was the best Satan we've ever had.
Oh, best. So good.
So the best.
Wore a hat. It was amazing.
He was so good. All right. So yeah, that's a recommendation so that's just to be clear, recommendations for Call of Cthulhu, the TV show Brimstone, and literally anytime John Glover has been on screen. Anytime he's on screen. You don't have to watch the whole thing. You just have to watch John Glover on screen.
We should watch Brimstone.
But yeah. I'm saying, in addition to the whole show Brimstone, literally every other screen appearance of John Glover you should also watch. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So yeah, John Glover, you're the best. There's no way you're going to hear this part, but you are the best. second, I bit the bullet. I watched Making a Murderer 2.
I have not seen it.
Okay, you're going to, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not going to spoil it all. I'm not going to spoil the show. Don't worry. I have no intention of spoiling the show. I'm not going to. All I want to say is one thing. I was one of the people who came away from the first show saying, obviously Brendan did nothing, knows nothing. He was trapped and those cops are scumbags.
Yeah.
Obviously. But at the same time, I could never really be sure what was going on with Stephen Avery.
Like, I'm sure he didn't do it.
But I wasn't sure he didn't do it when I watched it. When you watch two, you're like, yeah, he didn't do it. There's no way.
Yeah.
No, there's absolutely, I am completely on your camp now. There's no way he had any involvement whatsoever in her death. And it is conclusively proven by his appeal lawyers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, they find so much evidence, and I'm not going to tell you any of it because I want people to watch the show for themselves. We can talk about it off the podcast after you've seen the show, because you are going to be amazed at the kind of evidence they turn up.
Okay. Well, my car is broken. I can't drive anywhere, so I guess that's what I'm going to do this weekend.
Yeah, just watch the 10 hours.
Stay in and watch 10 hours of Making a Murderer. Too.
It's so good though. And I mean, this is me, and this is how ridiculous, like how desperate I was for facts and like the plot. I'd be like, oh, we're getting into another 10 minute part of the show about how sad it is that his parents are getting super old and he's still in jail. Maybe just fast forward a little, then fast forward a little more. Can we get back to the lawyer now? I mean, I know that that's an important part of the tone of the show as well, but I'm like, no, I need the facts. You can't keep teasing me with facts and then like making me feel sad about his family for 20 minutes. No, aww. I need to know what happened. Yeah, but it's amazing. It really is. And I would encourage anybody to check it out. Do we have a list this week?
We do.
Ooh.
Our list this week. We should have done last week's list this week, but we didn't know what we were going to watch until later and whatever. So anyway, this week's list is 13 horror films for people who hate horror films.
Oh, and yes. There's even 13. So this is, I assume, one of those lists that comes out around Halloween to try and get, you know, non-horror people into horror at Halloween.
Yes, this came out on October 29 of last year.
Okay. So yeah, that's exactly what it was for.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Hit me. What is it?
Okay, that's not enumerated, and
there is no clear authorial intent in what this is supposed to mean.
Nope, it's just a list.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess the first one on the list is Get Out.
Yeah, obviously, everybody needs to watch Get Out. Like, you don't need to like horror movies to watch Get Out, you just need to like creepy dramas, and I think everybody likes those.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, everybody needs to watch Get Out.
Okay, next is The Babadook.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good movie, and I think it is pretty accessible.
It is. Like, it's got some good creepy moments. People misunderstand what the movie is about, which bothers me. But
are you concerned about the fact that the Babadook has now become a gay icon?
No, that's not the issue.
I think it's weird. It's
really
so weird that that happened.
Or why that happened?
We are in the same boat on this front. I don't get it.
Does he live in the closet? Is that
that's why. But I don't get why they would grab that. Why would gravitate towards that?
It's a movie about grief.
I know.
God. Anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think people seem to think it's about something else, like trauma or something along those lines. It's just, it's about grief.
Oh, clearly.
Okay, next is, What We Do in the Shadows.
Not a horror movie, but yeah, you absolutely have to watch it, especially because the TV show starts really soon.
Yes.
Yeah, you've got to watch it. The TV show, I assume, is going to be great because Matt Berry's in it, and I have complete faith in him as a performer. So, I do, like.
Wow.
Has he ever been in something bad? Yes, actually, he's been in many bad things.
Of a movie called The Devil's Chair.
Such a terrible movie.
Oh my god,
not...
he died off screen. That's how bad that movie was.
But it's like, but I couldn't get over the wonderful thing, like the wonderful connection about Matt Berry actually being in a terrible movie about a haunted hospital. Like, that's so perfect. How could I not get you that god-awful movie? And seriously, Devil's Chair, it's a god-awful movie. No one should ever watch it unless you like irony and like confluences of things.
But even then.
Oh, even then, it's a stretch.
Don't bother.
All right, go.
Okay, next, Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great movie.
It's great.
So good. But I think, though, if you really don't like horror movies, you probably won't like Cabin in the Woods.
You won't get it at all.
And you won't appreciate it.
Yeah, you won't, like, you don't get what, I mean, that film is, I'm not saying it's built entirely around its references, but they're, like, half of what's enjoyable about the movie.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess it's safe for you to watch, right? But at the same time, you're right. How much are you going to get out of it?
Yeah, because it's like this meta love letter to horror. So if you don't like horror, you don't watch a lot of horror.
Are you going to appreciate
gonna,
it?
You're not going to get why Cabin in the Woods is as good as it is.
Oof, you make a strong point. Right? Oh, I thought we were going to be complimenting Cabin in the Woods, but now it looks like we're
I'm complimenting
it's still
Cabin
great.
In the Woods. It's an amazing movie, but I don't think it's a movie for people who hate horror movies.
That's true. Yeah, because like, what are you going to... I mean, then again, it has Thor in it, and people love Thor.
So just maybe a list of movies for people who love Chris Hemsworth.
It's not a, that's not a short list. A lot of, he's in a lot of good movies. All right. Next up.
Let the Right One In.
Oh, see, yeah, that's, I mean, again, you're going to run up against a certain question of accessibility, but it's a really good movie.
It is a really good movie.
But it's, you know, you got to be okay with a bit of blood and gore, because there's some freaky stuff in that movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just be prepared.
Yeah.
Go in with your eyes open. It is not, just because it's about kids doesn't mean it's entirely safe to watch.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up.
Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, obviously Rosemary's Baby. That's one that I think that was one of those giant crossover hits too. Like, there was just a huge hit outside of horror communities. Like, everybody went and saw Rosemary's Baby for a really good reason. It's just a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is.
You totally should see Rosemary's Baby. All right. And hopefully if enough people get back into it, I'll finally get to see the sequel, Whatever Happened to Rosemary's Baby. Which is a made-for-TV sequel to Rosemary's Baby that really exists, but I've never been able to track down.
Oh, my God.
I know. But, yeah, it's out there. Whatever happened to Rosemary's Baby?
Wow.
It's a good question to the point where they made that the title of their movie.
I guess so. Yeah, well, there's something with her eyes. We already know that much.
His eyes.
His eyes. Yeah, all right, it was a boy.
It's a boy.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, next up.
Zombieland. I don't know about this
one. I don't think so. I think, again...
Because it's a horror comedy. And just
it's a horror comedy that, again, is winking at the history of zombie movies.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of those for-fans-only kind of movies, isn't it?
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
But I think the misunderstanding here is that, well, it's funny. So even if you don't like horror movies, but you like comedies... You like Zombieland.
Still enjoy it, right. But that's not a good... Yeah,
like, the Gun Wrangler doesn't really like horror, but he loves Zombieland.
It's a really funny movie. I get that.
But he's at least, like, he's familiar with horror.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's a tough one.
No, I don't know if I would recommend Zombieland, because, like you say, it falls... close to, I mean, it's not as meta as Cabin in the Woods, but there is that aspect to it. Mm-hmm. Where I just don't think you're gonna get what the filmmakers intended out of it if you don't know the zombie tropes. So, yeah. Zombieland, maybe take a pass on that one.
Alright, here's one that I don't think belongs on this list.
Okay.
Nightcrawler.
Way to cue that up. No, it's not a horror movie!
Not a horror movie.
By the way, I'm sorry, is a frigging Taxi Driver a horror movie? No? Like, no, it's not a horror movie at all. Yeah. It's a great movie.
Great movie.
It's
I will never see it
unpleasant.
Again.
No, you can't watch it more than once. Like, why would you watch that more than once? Well, no, if you're a cinematographer, I guess you would want to watch it more than once. Like, you're just like, how did they shoot that? Okay, I want to get an eye on these shots and blah, blah, blah. Like, if you really care about the craft of cinematography, I could understand wanting to watch that movie more than once. Mm-hmm. But there is no other excuse for watching that movie more than once or without us thinking you might have something wrong with you mentally.
Yeah, but it doesn't belong on this list. This isn't
a horror
movie.
It's not a horror movie at all. Nope.
Okay, next. Oh.
What?
The Craft.
Well, I mean, considering that's designed to be a crossover horror movie.
But it's not, really.
No, it's not. But that is what it's for.
I found out that she's wearing a wig through that entire movie.
Really?
Yeah, because she made this after Empire Records, and her hair hadn't grown back.
Wow.
So that's
a
wig.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and it's like, I don't know why, I mean, unless Scream is on this list, I don't know how you put The Craft on as an accessible horror movie, but not Scream. But then again, you might say Scream next, so I could be completely backwards on this.
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to say A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which I have not seen.
I haven't seen that either. Is that the Iranian one?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that. Oh. All right, well, so we can't weigh in on this one. Do they offer an explanation for why they think it belongs on the list?
Okay, I'll read you what it says here.
Okay.
Vampire movies are arguably the most diverse of all horror subgenres. I don't think that's true.
Not true at all, actually, but...
A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night is yet another example of a film that takes horror films somewhere different and interesting, probably not one for the popcorn multiplex crowd. This debut feature from Anna Lily Amirpour is black and white, Persian language film about a skateboarding vampire in a, I'm going to mispronounce this word, Hador, who targets men who disrespects women. Sounds pretty amazing when put like that, doesn't it? A very slow-paced horror. You're unlikely to be hiding behind a sofa, which is good news for those of a nervous disposition. But be prepared for a truly unsettling atmosphere and mood unlike most other horrors.
Huh. Well, that has really encouraged me to check it out, so there's that, but...
I just thought, like, I don't know anything about the movie, but what I kind of picked up is it's a little pretentious.
Oh.
But what do I know?
No, that's a good point.
You know, third hand conclusions. Yeah. You're like, so anyway.
No, it is. Okay. Is that the last one on the list?
No.
Okay. I was miscounting. Okay. Go.
All right. Next is Paranorman.
Paranorman. Oh, okay. Again, that's a kid's movie. I don't think that counts as a horror movie at all. Is the next one Beetlejuice? Like,
no, the next one is Evil Dead 2.
No!
Absolutely not!
That is not a good thing to introduce people to horror.
No, if you don't like horror movie, you're really gonna hate them if you see Evil Dead 2.
Why would they even say, oh, I don't know about this horror thing. What do you think I should watch? Evil Dead 2. No, I just got a laugh out of the lazy writer who's half a room away. Cause even she understands how absurd that idea is.
Yeah.
Like that's ridiculous. No. Whoever made this list has no idea what they're talking about.
Clearly not, because the next one, which is the last one on the list, is The Wicker Man from 2006.
From 2006?
Yeah.
No, this is okay. You know, there were some interesting entries on this list, but in these last couple, they have really just thrown away all of our goodwill.
Yeah.
The Wicker Man 2006, a movie no one should... Wait, do they mean watch it because it's a laugh riot, or are they actually saying to get you into horror?
Well, it says here, The originals, so the original Wicker Man is a proper scary horror film. So what makes this one good for those who don't like horror? And then it's just a clip from the movie.
Oh, okay. So no, that's a joke entry. It's not a real entry. Okay. I'm a little more accepting now that I know that it's a prank entry, and that's why it's the last one on the list. Okay.
But it might be a joke, but I wouldn't say it further discredits the list because the list already discredited itself.
Yeah.
But it's poorly conceived. It's a bad joke.
No, it is a very bad joke that probably it is beneath them to include it on this list.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, all right, that was a list, which definitely had a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. But you know what? You can't make a list without horror movies. So in the future, are they still going to be able to make those lists, or have they stopped making horror movies?
They still are. They're still making horror movies.
Whew.
Yeah, right? It's a relief. So it means that this week's upcoming horror movie is The House That Jack Built.
Okay, obviously it's a Nightmare Before Christmas prequel.
Well, here we go.
Okay.
Follows the highly intelligent Jack over a span of 12 years and introduces the murders that define Jack's development as a serial killer. We experience the story from Jack's point of view while he postulates each murder is an artwork in itself. As the inevitable police intervention is drawing nearer, he is taking greater and greater risks in his attempt to create the ultimate artwork. It sounds like it was written by the filmmaker.
Honestly, you can't see the fact that my mouth is agape at the pretentiousness of this film, but just trust me that it was. Oh, that sounds dire.
Well, do you want to...
Please tell me who's in it. Like, there's got to be some three.
It doesn't matter who's in it. What matters is who has written and directed it.
Oh, God, you have to tell me.
Lars von Trier.
No! Oh, that's going to be garbage.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be the worst.
Oh, Lars von Trier, you are the worst.
Like, I like the idea of this guy who's developing his art as a serial killer, but I'd rather see that movie from the point of view of the cops.
Yeah, no.
Not from the point of view of the highly pretentious serial killer.
Okay, how's the Jack Built? One to miss. But anyway, yeah. Really just one to miss.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, we did watch some movies this week though. Would you care to tell people what they are?
Yeah, I guess so. So our first movie tonight is called Extremity. Allison is convinced an extreme haunt will cure her of past trauma. Too bad she's a crazy person and the guy running the haunt is a self-righteous dick.
So, I kind of prepared my own synopsis for this one. Would you care to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
Some idiots have the worst plan ever. And it goes exactly like you think it would.
Did you know right away or sooner that the other dude was in on it?
Right away. Because, yeah. I mean, just simply put, everything we know about this haunt says it's designed specifically to create an environment to, you know, trigger your fears and mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have two people in that.
Yeah.
You can't have people. Well, you could if they knew each other and their fears were linked to each other. Mm-hmm. But full stop, if they want to realize their vision, you can't have two strangers involved, especially since her fears had nothing to do with a stranger.
No, it's a one of a kind.
Yeah.
Operation.
I mean, the haunt, or and one they specifically time, say yeah. that these are bespoke, you know, haunts. Designed specifically to screw up a single person. They don't use that term.
I wish they did though.
If they had just said bespoke haunts in the movie, yeah, that probably would have been a lot better had they said bespoke haunts.
That's the comedy version, bespoke haunts. Oh, that's a great title for a business. Or a great name, I should say. I'm getting my words all mixed up.
That's fine. No one's going to judge you. But yeah, like, what were they thinking with this one? Because
I don't understand how they make money.
I was gonna ask you, where is the money coming from? She's not paying them.
No, she's not. You don't pay for your bespoke haunting.
And I thought she was at the start, and then the way they start talking, I'm like, okay, she's not paying. And they're all, yeah. And the guy's like, I'm running out of money for my business. And I'm like, how did you ever have any money for your business?
Technically, I don't think it's a business.
Well, they act like it is though. They pretend it's a business. But he's like, we've got to get to the new level of fame.
But they're not making any money. So really he's operating as like a charity almost.
Yeah, but it's like,
he's providing a service, but not collecting any money for it.
I would suggest that they probably have a Patreon. Because they're clearly like showing all the footage of the haunts and the interviews and stuff on YouTube. So yeah. Clearly they have online fans. I can say that much.
Some crowdfunding maybe.
There's some, it has to be crowdfunding. That's the only place this like money can be coming from. And it's not a cheap thing. Like they do extensive builds and they have like six people on staff.
Yeah.
So it's not, and all of those people are being paid. Like nobody is there because only one guy is there because he has an ownership stake in the project. The rest of them are just employees.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of them, is in fact an employee who's ex-military who's there because he genuinely thinks, you know, confronting their fears can be of psychological value to them. I would argue this is not the best way to do that.
Nope.
And can I just tell you, I mean, we're going to spoil this movie, right? Like it's fine. Nobody needs to see the film Extremity. Okay. I honestly thought this movie was going to a smart and good place for
really?
A second. No, how I did.
I maybe at the start, but then I saw what she was wearing when she showed up for the haunt. And that was the end of that.
I'm like, come on.
This movie's going nowhere fast.
Well, no, but it's like, okay, this is a film that could have had, if not a powerful ending, then something close to it, had it not had the desire to end in the most cliched horror way possible. And I'll tell you how. And you, again, feel free to disagree with me on this one. But I'll tell you what I thought about this. So the girl's trauma is, she was the victim of, they're very nebulous.
Abused by her stepfather. No, they're very clear about that.
No, not that part. Is it her stepfather or was that her actual father?
Oh, it might have been her actual father.
It's her actual father.
Regardless, she was...
Yeah, she was molested for years and years and years and years. As
yes,
was
abused
her,
in every way by
as
her
was
father.
Her older sister, who may also be her mother.
Who is definitely her mother.
Who is definitely her mother, who then killed herself to get away from this abuse.
Yes.
Right? And that is her trauma. And everybody knows that is her trauma going in.
Yeah.
And when the entire, like, arc of her story is getting her so freaked out that she, you know, that so freaked out and then forcing her to accidentally kill someone. So the arc of the story is sleep deprivation, hypothermia, screw her over, make her think she's accidentally killed someone, then make her think that they're going to kill her to keep that a secret. And only after all that has happened, put the father who molested her for her entire childhood directly in front of her.
Yes.
And so I thought, obviously they want her to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be what this is all building to.
No,
and I thought
the
ending was going to be, oh my God, this actually, in his crazy head, having her kill the dad was the therapy.
No, because I don't think this guy wants or expects her to kill him. I think he thinks this is good. First of all, I don't know if he fully understands or appreciates the extent
of
the abuse that this woman suffered. So there's
that.
Well,
considering it's public knowledge that the dad was in jail for child molestation, it would be hard to not get it.
But I honestly don't think that the guy who runs the business.
Yeah.
Is setting up her to kill her father.
Well, no, he isn't. Within
because
the plot of the film,
he doesn't
isn't.
Know that she's, but everyone else around him is like, she's fucking nuts. You gotta cut her loose. You have to shut this down.
Yeah.
And he's just like, no, I'm helping her. I'm so great.
But that's why I thought he was setting her up to kill him. Because
no.
He keeps refusing everyone's entreaties that she's crazy. Because I thought he was like, yeah, I know she's crazy. that's how I'm going to help her. I'm going to help her in the only way I possibly can, letting her kill her father.
No, because this guy doesn't care about helping these people.
That's
true. He's just there to run. He thinks he's some kind of like failed filmmaker because he has that little speech about horror movies.
Yeah, I know.
And so he thinks he's creating art or some shit. So yeah. he's just, it's all very self-serving. Everything this guy does. It's got nothing to do with her overcoming her childhood trauma.
So no, you're absolutely right.
Definitely not setting her up to kill her dad.
But that's what I thought was coming. But then she kills the dad. No, and you're right. I was reading the film's intentions and I was reading the character's intentions wrong because she kills the dad and I'm like, okay, if this isn't the intention, why is no one reacting to the fact that the dad just got killed? Like, they've been watching every moment of this filming up
until
this point.
Well, everyone has left by that point.
And,
they don't know that she's killed him.
Yeah, but there's at least one or two people left, and this is the pivotal moment of the entire haunt, as planned, and no one is watching the cameras for their confrontation.
Well, no, because a lot of people have left, like, in disgust, or to go get a sandwich, or I feel like those sisters, they're laying low.
Yeah.
They're definitely, they've got their own story. Cause the way that they talk to each other, it sounds like they're actually on the run.
Yeah, it does.
Like they're on the lam and this is just a good place to lay low till the heat blows over. Like,
yeah, I know. Oh, totally. But it's like, I gotta say, I just, because of how elaborate the haunt is, I didn't think for a second that they could be so inept as to put an obvious psychotic woman who thinks she's going to jail, an obvious, in a room with her molester and a bunch of sharp knives, and then be like, well, we can all just take a powder and go home. I'm sure this will all be fine. Like, where was the security? Oh, every part of their plan was garbage, and how else could it have gone?
Yeah.
Now seriously, every part of their plan was garbage.
But even, like, just the haunt itself, I don't think was very... First of all, it's an extremely poor taste.
Yeah.
You built a bespoke haunt for a woman who was sexually abused by her father and is the product of incest herself. And then one of the first things you have her do is masturbate.
Yep.
While someone's being beaten up.
Yep.
The fuck is wrong with you people?
Well, but, and that's, again, this is how, I was fooled by the movie because I interpreted idiocy as a point because you got to agree with my point that if the intent had been to amp her up to the point where she could kill her dad, then everything that happens in the film makes sense if that was their intention.
But I knew
but
that,
that wasn't their intention.
I knew the movie
right,
wasn't
because,
driving towards that.
No,
so,
obviously you did, but I gave these guys the benefit of the doubt they obviously didn't deserve.
Why do you keep doing that?
It's one of my worst habits. I will admit that. I do give people way too much benefit of the doubt. Like, I tend to think things are going places, but they're almost never actually going places.
I want to be hopeful and optimistic, but I know how to read these movies.
I know.
And it's, I like being, so I go in thinking the worst, so that way when it turns
pleasantly
out
surprised.
Not to be the worst, yeah, it's, yeah, exactly.
No, I get it. I completely get why you do that, but I'm on record as being the opposite, which is I always-
So you're continually disappointed.
I know, and I'm always disappointed. That's true. But experience. Every now and then, I'm not saying yours isn't the better way to experience these things. Obviously it is, but I am not ready to give up on wishing for the, like, hoping for the best from these people.
Well, you can hope for the best, but you really should expect the worst.
I shouldn't expect it. You're right. That's where I get into trouble. Yeah, so that's Extremity. Don't watch it. We've spoiled the whole movie.
Oh, and, there's so much more to talk about, though. We just barely scratched the surface.
All right, if you want to talk a little more about it. But I want to get out.
I mean, the movie does the stupid thing of confusing or conflating grossness
with
scariness.
Yeah.
So that's stupid. And then my real, like a big problem I have with this movie, it's like, you have like worked with this guy to build a haunted house just for you. You know this whole thing is fake, so why is it freaking you out?
That is a really good question.
Like, when I go to a haunted house, I go, like, I'm going in with the, like, knowing that it's fake, that this whole thing is just set up to make me jump.
Yep.
And so I really have a good time. Like, I enjoy myself. I enjoy the scares and the loud noises and people jumping out and yelling.
I think
boo.
That's what most people get out of it.
Yeah. But she's like, she's making a point of going to this thing in the hopes that it will solve all of her problems, and then immediately starts getting freaked out by the stupid shit that's happening. I'm like,
but you chose to be here.
You chose this.
Yeah. You were specifically.
And she waffles between being scared and being strong. It's like, you know, you can't have
there's no consistency at all. Well, there's no consistency in the way the character is written or in the way the character is acted. I think this film is hurt by its lead.
Also, it's like you learn that she is not a willing participant in her own therapy.
Yeah.
Because like we get flashbacks of her with a therapist where she just kind of sits there suddenly and talks back. And it's like, if you are completely unwilling to speak with your therapist about
on any of your trauma and work on this stuff.
Exactly. What makes she's looking
why,
for a quick
why do you
fix.
Think yeah, she's why do you think that this is going to be a quick fix?
Yeah.
Like
but
why do you think
wants,
that this is
so
going to solve all your problems?
If that would have been more interesting.
Yeah, too, if they address that part of her character.
Yeah.
But they don't at all.
This is clearly what she's driving towards.
Oh yeah. No, totally. It's what she's driving towards, but the film just doesn't get you there.
Yeah. And then she gets waterboarded.
And then
Fuck
she gets
you,
waterboarded.
Movie.
Yeah, that was kind of crap.
Yep.
Although she doesn't really get waterboarded. They just tilt her head back, but keep it forward enough that the actress won't actually waterboard.
But she's in the world of the movie, she's being waterboarded.
Oh no, in the world of the movie, yes. But yeah. It looks like a half-assed waterboarding compared to what
I don't think you can actually waterboard someone.
No, you can't actually waterboard someone for a movie. You can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way to waterboard someone for a movie is if you put saran wrap over their face first before the towel, but then you'll just be suffocating them.
So.
No, but it's like, okay, actor, hold your breath for 40 seconds while we pretend to waterboard you. Like that would be the only way to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think they should. I'm not absolutely not saying they should, but yeah. But yeah. And then they waterboard her to create a panic attack to help the,
to help her?
Well, to help again. And you're right. I was a fool for thinking it, but I really did think that if they got her broken down to the point where that she could kill her dad, they thought it would help her. But since that's not what they're doing, you're right that none of these actions have any kind of internal logic.
Nothing matters.
Ugh, this garbage movie.
Yeah.
Was it made in Canada?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I figured. It's just
like... Yeah, because that one guy has a pretty thick accent.
Yeah.
Everyone else
well,
is
there's a native guy in the
or
cast.
They're doing another accent.
The Canadian accent, there's the native guy in the cast. I just thought, it's probably Canadian, right?
Yeah, it's, I think it was shot outside of Edmonton.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, yeah, lots of huge flat areas full of snow. So that
I'm
all makes
Alberta.
That all logically tracks. Yep. Yeah, just a terrible movie. But you're right. There's gross stuff. There's unpleasant stuff. There's this weird subplot about a Japanese video
crew.
Yeah,
that, and again, that was also, the movie just took it too far with those two.
Yeah.
So like there's an interviewer and a cameraman there to film the haunt.
Yeah.
Or whatever TV show it is that they're producing.
Just some Japanese TV show.
Some Japanese thing. Fine. Like, I don't have a problem with that.
No.
But then it gets weird because the cameraman's like, you know what? I don't like what's going on here. I want to leave. And the only way I'm going to stay is if you suck my dick. And she's like, well, then I guess I got to suck your dick. I'm like,
what
the fuck, movie? What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? And more importantly, like, where is this coming from and why you have not established that this getting more footage of this haunt is so integral to anyone's career that she's going to be exploited like that?
Yeah.
Like, where is this coming from?
It just like, it was so unnecessary.
Unnecessary and completely out of left field and kind of insulting.
Extremely insulting because she's like, yeah, you're okay.
Like what the hell, movie?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's,
ugh.
I'm trying to think of ways in which this movie isn't just garbage.
There are none.
It's just a garbage movie from beginning to end. But had they been trying to say something, it would have been good. And but then again, I've just said, had it been a good movie, it would have been good. So my point of view on this film is no longer valid, it's clear.
The problem with the movie is that it's not good. Good.
See, what they did was, instead of making a good movie, they made a bad movie, and that's what you're reacting to. Their failure to make a good movie. Oh, of course.
Oh, yes.
Oh, why didn't I see it? So yeah, I think it's safe to say that, we're not going to be recommending anybody watch Extremity.
No. Now we can move on.
Oh, yeah, now we can move on.
Our second movie tonight is Dark House from 2009.
Yeah.
I had to think about that.
There are so many movies called Dark House, apparently.
Yes. All right. Here we go. Claire talks her drama class into taking a job as actors in a local haunted house. The job pays well, but she's got a hidden agenda. Claire is hoping that spending time in the house will help her confront and overcome the terrible thing that happened inside the house many years ago.
Ooh.
So, this movie, oh man. It has, okay, I actually want to give out a spoiler warning because.
Yeah, there's a giant spoiler
might
that
not
we're going
to
talk about.
It might not be worth seeing, but at the same time, maybe you want to see it.
Well, it does have, it stars Jeffrey Combs.
Cause it's got Jeffrey Combs in it, so.
And he's very entertaining.
He is.
I mean, this movie is essentially, in many ways, the same movie as Popcorn. And.
But in many ways, not.
Well, it's much worse than Popcorn. No, it's not as good. But I mean, it's basically the same movie as Popcorn in almost every way, except without the wit or the fun or the charm. It's a worse Popcorn. I mean, come on. Like,
the poor man's Popcorn.
It is the
maybe?
Poor man Popcorn, but it is explicitly the same movie as Popcorn in a lot of fundamental ways. And Jeffrey Combs is in the Ray Walston part. Is hybrid Ray Walston and their professor. He's like a midpoint between those two characters.
I think that's actually his name in the movie.
Ray Walston?
Yeah. Oh, no, I think it's very close to Walston.
Okay. But anyway, maybe they knew going in. But anyway, so yeah, watch Popcorn is what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
But if you want to watch a gory movie with a fun performance by Jeffrey Combs, you can do a lot worse than this one. He has been in some stinkers, is what I'm saying. But we are, to discuss the plot, we are going to have to do major spoilers from here on out. Yeah. Obviously, the real appeal of the film is a lot of, like, super gory sequences, and we can't spoil that. Yeah. They're not very good, but there are a lot of them.
There are a lot of gory sequences, but it's all CGI, and it's not very good.
It's not great CGI, but at least the fact that they go all CGI means that a guy can just be standing there, and then his head will get crushed and splatter everywhere. And I'm like, okay, well, at least they went there. All right, but anyway, now that the spoiler warning is done, go for it.
Okay, so the movie starts, and they're in the haunted house, and I was actually a little, like, I was charmed by the idea that the ghost in the house uses the computer system to, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Materialize?
No, materialize is good. It essentially possesses the computer.
It possesses the
computer,
there
are hologram projectors everywhere, like all over the house. So in any room of the house, they can make like 20 different kinds of ghosts in any given room. And the actual ghost can then give that existing light material form so it can do damage.
Yes,
yeah, corporeal form. Yeah. And that is a clever idea.
And I liked it. It's cheesy. It was done in a very cheesy fashion.
Oh, absolutely.
That looked like maybe it belonged 10 years earlier. But as I said, I was charmed by that idea. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's a
ghost possessing the computer system and making the holograms real. I'm on board.
I haven't seen that specific premise before. It does feel like something from the 90s, but you know what? We're having a good time.
Exactly. But then the movie just has so many fake outs.
Yep.
At the end, it just completely, it ruins itself because of it. Because I think they wanted it all. They truly wanted everything. she's crazy. She killed everybody. There are ghosts. The ghosts killed people. It's like, it's one of the other guys.
Yeah. They try to say, oh, she was just crazy and she killed everyone. And we know because we've got her fingerprints on all of the things. And I'm like, on all of the weapons. But I'm like, one of the weapons was long fingernails that went all the way through a guy's back.
Right.
Like, one of the weapons was someone got shot with an assault rifle. Which, by the way, did the assault rifle get left there? Wasn't it a hologram?
It was a holographic soldier. But the other thing though is that
poisoned with gas.
When you see later on, like when you have your little walk through the house where she's the killer, because there's a guy, as you said earlier, he gets his head exploded.
Yeah.
But you see him lying on the floor, head intact.
Yeah, and that's because they went back and reshot some gore, I think.
Or it was really just a way, it's like, oh, all the holograph stuff was a fake out. It all happened in her mind. She just stabbed them all to death.
That's not true.
That's
not what happened. She was frigging standing next to Jeffrey Combs when that happened.
No, but what the movie's
not
trying to
killing
do
people.
Is
it's
that
saying
when
it was all in her head. Yeah.
It was all exactly. But then you find out
that no,
but
it wasn't all in her head.
That's a fake out because it wasn't all in her head. There really is a ghost and it really did possess the hologram.
Which by the way, we actually knew because the first thing the ghost does is show up in the basement, scare the guy who's working the computer, and then make a computer monitor explode in his face.
Yes.
So she was nowhere near him when that happened.
So it's just, as I said, the movie, it goes for the fake out, but then it doesn't.
Why?
It does it so many times. It's like, cause it wants to have it all. It's like, oh, she really did it. No, she didn't. Yes, she did. No, she didn't.
And I just don't get why films feel like they need to do that. Like, why do you feel like you need to take away an interesting story?
Yeah, because she was like off her meds. And I'm like, I'm so sick of people going off their meds and killing people.
Well, I think we have had a moratorium on movies where we find out a character is off her meds.
Yeah.
And by the way, two films in a row, because I watched that one, and it's like at the end you find out he's off her meds, and in the beginning of Extremity, she throws away her
meds. She's off her meds, yeah.
I'm like, Jesus, crackers films. Oh, if you go off your meds, I don't care.
I know, I'm not interested in what happens next.
No, like,
I don't
want
to know. Yeah.
Especially, but it's like, this film is a perfectly clear story, and I don't understand how they thought they were A, being clever, or B, adding anything to the story by having her just be the killer.
You're
right, and then they take it back.
Yes, yeah. They do, take it. And we're still, so the movie opens like 14 years ago, and it's these three girls and all daring each other to go knock on the door of the spooky house.
Such a fake out.
One girl, she's gonna do it, and not only does she doesn't knock on the door, she just walks into the house, and then discovers a massacre.
Yeah.
And then she like falls down and hits her head. And for the entire length of the movie, you're meant to believe that Claire is that girl.
Yeah.
And you find out at the end, no, she survived the massacre because she lived in that house.
Yeah, she was one of the orphans inside the house. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, and the one clue they get is when she before she falls down and hits her head, she does look through a keyhole and see that there is a person in there.
But we know that was just an eyeball. That could have been anybody. It could have been a ghost.
It could have been a ghost, but it wasn't.
So it's just one fake out after another and all these twists. And I maybe they think they're being clever. But
I'm
the heart of it, you had something fun there. You had a ghost possessing holograms.
Yeah, and killing people. And it's fine
and
if that ghost was
great.
A crazy lady who murdered all of the children she was fostering because she brutally abused them to the point where they turned their back on her and her religion. Uh-huh. And she thought, you won't turn your back on my religion, I'll kill you. And I'm like, that's a fine, it's a perfectly acceptable motive. Like, the character works fine. Like, everything about that is acceptable, but then why'd you have to complicate it with all these fake outs?
Exactly.
Yeah, to use the vernacular, You played yourself. That's what happened.
Really? They really did. They played themselves.
They played themselves.
DJ Khaled would be proud.
Oh, it's so true though. This movie is so infuriating. But at least Jeffrey Combs is fun.
And he is having a great time.
Oh, he's having a blast.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, this is a man who has never met a piece of scenery he doesn't enjoy the taste of. he clearly loves it. And you gotta love him loving it. Like, he's just so high energy this whole movie.
Yep.
Yeah, he gets killed right around the 55 minute mark if you want to stop watching.
Off screen, which is a problem.
Very disappointing. He gets eaten by some zombies off screen. You don't want to watch the film after that happens. No one is going to call you a fool.
That's fine, really. Yeah,
completely. Oh, but yeah, no, Jeffrey Combs still is, he's a miracle worker. He really does, he embiggens any part he takes, so. Bravo, Mr. Combs, bravo. But yeah, it's a film with problems, but at least it is fun.
Up to a point.
And then it starts with the fake outs and it becomes tiresome at the end. Although, one thing really bothered me was, so she's got a goth friend, right? she's got a goth friend, and the goth friend is like, spends all this time yelling at her for not telling them that it was a murder house and that she was one of the people from the murder house.
Yeah, this is all your fault that we're dying now.
This
like,
is absolutely
really
not her fault.
Yeah.
She had no reason to think that there was going to be a ghost massacre right. If people came back there. This is a completely unprecedented set of events. It is not her fault that this ghost lady has come back.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, the ghost lady would have come back whether she had come to the house or not.
Yeah, because at the end of the movie, we finally meet the girl who did discover the massacre, and the ghost lady materializes and attacks her. So.
Yeah, so obviously the ghost lady isn't picky.
It doesn't really matter. Whoever crosses that threshold, gonna die.
Ghost decides to murder her. Oh, but yeah, it's... I thought it was very unfair the way her friend was like, this is all your fault. I'm like, I don't see how.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, she did do the specific thing that triggered the murderous rampage, right? But at the same time, the friend doesn't know that. And again, even if you knew that she had triggered a murderous rampage by a crazy religious nut, that would have no, it would give you no reason to believe, oh, by the way, that lady's ghost is going to attack you if you take over, if you go to this house.
Yeah.
It's just, there's no way. All right. So yeah, that was Dark House. It was the better of tonight's two movies. That's not saying much.
Yeah.
It really isn't, but it is the better of the two. But seriously, just go watch Popcorn.
Honestly.
It's a good movie.
So great.
Like, it really is. And again, that is a film where it both works as a, you want to talk about a movie that works as both a love letter to horror movies and a horror movie.
Yeah.
It 100% works as both. And how many movies can say they achieved that? Very few. Go watch Popcorn. You'll have a much better time. It also has a Charles Manson in it, which is pretty nice. Well, Charles Manson came up last week, so I thought, All right, so that's that. That has been our month of haunts. So what would you say was the best haunted movie we watched? Like, what was the best movie you watched about haunts?
I'm having a hard time remembering all the ones we watched
Was it the first Hell House LLC?
Yeah, the first one was pretty good. Without its faults, but not bad.
Yeah. What I want to say is the first Hell House LLC, if you take in the knowledge that we learned about the backstory in 2 without having to consider any of the events of 2, I think it's the best movie.
Okay. But even on its own, it's still...
No, it's good. It's good on its own. It's just it leaves you with these really big questions.
That aren't answered.
Are satisfactorily answered in the second film.
Oh, I don't know.
But then the second film is garbage.
I wouldn't say they're satisfactorily answered.
Well, no, but you do find out. Yeah, I mean, you never find out what the guy said, which is important, but you do understand why the one guy was so obsessed with the situation. Like, you do get answers to those questions. And I think that's worth something.
I don't know.
You're right to kind of dismiss a lot of the second film.
And
that might be the best one.
It might be the best one. And as I said, I liked the idea at the heart of Dark House, but the execution left a lot to be desired.
I don't know. The execution is just terrible. But
what else?
There were much worse ones. We watched much worse ones this year.
I can't remember what else we watched.
Slaughterhouse Massacre.
Funhouse Massacre. No, that movie was stupid and it had too many people in it.
Oh yeah, no. I wasn't saying it was a good movie, but I'm just reminding you what we watched.
Oh, the Slaughterhouse Massacre.
And then the Slaughterhouse Massacre, which was the worst movie we watched. No, that was worse than Extremity. Extremity's bad, but it's not as bad as Slaughterhouse Massacre.
I don't know.
I was about to say, which one would you rather watch again?
Ninth?
And then the answer is, I would rather break every computer in the world than watch either one of them again. So I don't want to have to answer that question fairly.
Uh-huh. I'd rather watch Nightcrawler again. There we go.
Oh, damn!
Take that.
Oh, that hurts so bad, Slaughterhouse Massacre. Okay, what you have to understand is there's this house full of sluts.
How many times can you say the word slut? And it lose all meaning.
We thought possible. And apparently the amount is like a third of the way through the movie, the word slut lost all meaning. I think it's like, now it's just a sound that is coming out of mouths. I interpret it as not a thought anymore.
There's no meaning attached to it.
Yeah, no, it has no like semiotic value. It's literally just... It's literally just a sound that is happening.
Semantic satiation.
Semantic, thank you.
Has occurred.
There you go. All right. So yeah. So the big winner, Hell House LLC 2. One. Honorable mention, Dark House. But other than that, we had a pretty weak year of haunt themed movies.
Yeah. Well, it goes to show there are more bad ones. I mean, it's an easy premise.
Especially because it's really easy to find a place to film because there are so many real haunts.
Exactly.
That are completely unoccupied 20 hours of the day. So.
But yeah.
You understand why people make these movies, but people are not doing it right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's that. Is there anything you want to recommend people check out?
True North Crime and Chicks and Dicks are up and running again on an alternating weekly schedule.
Yay!
You can check out either or both of those if you desire.
My own podcast is going to join that network soon, but it has been delayed by a unforeseen technical issue.
Oh my god.
Wow. So much drama behind the scenes. Oof. But anyway, so that will be coming soon, but until then, Hidden Object Guru YouTube channel, constant flood of new content there. Vargelon.com for all your Criminal Minds needs.
You can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there. Tell us about your favorite haunted house movie. Maybe we missed it. It's entirely possible because there were some that I chose not to.
This is of October built two.
You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
And I encourage you to do all of those things. So until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.